Institute began building the sacrificial altar on Thursday, which is a fast day for the Jews to mourn the destruction of the temple 2,000 years ago. It's located in the center of the temple, but they're building it off-site. They're choosing the rocks. Here's a picture out of the Dead Sea. And they have this Temple Institute has already built many of the vessels for the Holy Temple, such as the menorah and all those different things. So it's getting close. You know, we don't get a focus so much because we have to, you know, we have all the entertainment stuff and everything else. But if you get lost in your timetable, just keep an eye on Israel because that's where it's all clicking down. So, but anyway, yeah. So they're picking out the stones to build the altar. I don't know. It's Arutz Sheva. Gesundheit to you too. Arutz Sheva. All right. We're going to do a little something different with the youth. Tony's going to take them, and he's going to map out some things for the rest of the summer, and then we're going to plan some things for the fall when school starts. Just pray, because we're in the final stages of our proofreading through the whole curriculum, and hopefully we'll be done by the end of the month, but it'll be all done, and then Robert's helping us to reformat the thing so it looks like a book. And so anyway,
this is the workbook.
This is the final proofreading, grammar, all that kind of stuff. It's all going to be finished and done. And I'm going to offer it up as I'm going to burn one copy as a sacrificial offering, a burnt offering. And then this is something to pray about down the future. Tony and I have been in touch with Michael Boldea and their ministry at Hand of Help. And I extended an invitation if they were to come out. And they wrote back and said, if we pay for their plane flight and put them up, that they will come out. Wow. Michael and Gino, who travels with him. So just pray about it, you know, because that I couldn't think of anybody else that I would want to have other than Resham to come and be here and do some, you know, meetings and stuff like that. So it would take a financial commitment and such, but, you know, there's people starving for holiness, and that's what they're all about. So just pray about that, because, you know, maybe sometime in the fall or whatever, but, you know, we'll just pray about it. And then I have an illustration for tonight. I did a death notification on Thursday night, and this person had been dead 3 days. And you get a whole different point of view when Mary and Martha say, Lord, he's been in there for 4 days, our brother. He stinketh. And if there's anybody that doubts the flesh stinks, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight with circumcision and the cutting of the flesh, there is no good thing in the flesh. Because once that spirit's gone, it stinketh. And I even had one of the officers who was still having a hard time last night, and I had to talk to him because he had to take the pictures and the smell, and the pictures and the smell were still going on in his head and stuff like that. So anyway, just, you know, and that's a point, and I talked to Billy out in the foyer out before we started, is there just needs to be, it's so sad that somebody has to die by themselves and nobody finds them for 3 days, you know, that there's not a checks with other people and stuff. So I know that you guys have tried in King City to make sure neighbors know neighbors and check on one another, but so anyway. So just pray for the officer. I can't tell you his name, but, you know, he was just having a hard time with the sights and the smells and stuff like that. So Tony, I don't know, she, what was this, in pre-med school or something, about if you sniff coffee grounds or coffee beans, it's supposed to help to get the stink out. So that's what I told him last night. I says, this might sound crazy, but I says, here, this is, you know, try this. So. Is that why that pastor smiles all the time? Smiley face. So, anyway. Okay, so the youth are going back with Tony. So you guys are dismissed. And we'll see you. And we're in Joshua 5. Joshua 5. Steve, can you flip that side light on? Yeah, there you go. Joshua 5, the cutting of the flesh, Joshua 5. All right, so I'm just going to read through the whole chapter, and then we're going to camp on one, and then next week I'm going to finish it up because it was too much to have cover in one night. So it was when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until we had crossed over, that their heart melted, and there was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives for yourself and circumcise the sons of Israel again the second time. So Joshua made flint knives for himself and circumcised the sons of Israel at the hills of the foreskins. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the people who came out of Egypt, who were males, all the men of war, had died in the wilderness on the way after they had come out of Egypt. For all the people who came out had been circumcised, but all the people born in the wilderness on the way as they came out of Egypt had not been circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people who were men of war who came out of Egypt were consumed because they did not obey the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord swore that he would not show them the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers, that he would give us a land flowing with milk and honey. Then Joshua circumcised their sons, whom he had raised up in their place, for they were uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. And so it was, when they had finished circumcising all the people, that they stayed in their places in the camp till they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, this day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. Therefore, the name of the place is called Gilgal to this day. Now the children of Israel camped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at twilight on the plains of Jericho. And they ate of the produce of the land on the day after the Passover, unleavened bread and parched grain on the very same day. Then the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land. And the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? And so he said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. So, exciting things. Last week we talked about them getting to the place of Gilgal, and we understood that that name, Gilgal, meant the reproach has rolled away. And so they're preparing to go into this land and for conquering the promised land. But the question is, you sit there and you go, hey, you already went through the Jordan, we talked about that, and they got up on the other side, why not go right into Jericho? Because it says here that the hearts of the enemies were melted and they had no spirit in them because of them hearing what God had done at the Red Sea and also splitting over the Jordan. So why do we have to wait? Does anybody ever wonder why you have to wait? Come on, Lord, let's get on with the program here. Right? We're always eager to do for God. We are. Fight conquer, subdue. Aren't those great words? Before we should be something for God. We always want the do before the be. God is not in a hurry. Your character is way more important to him than the gifting that he's given you. Character can torpedo gifting, way more than gifting torpedo character. So Gilgal comes before Jericho. You have to have the preparation before you go and do the battle. Three things had to happen prior to this battle, okay? The first thing is the flesh had to be cut away, and that's in verse 1 that we're going to look at. Next week, we're going to look at the heavenly provision had to cease. That's in verse 12. And then a divine confrontation had to occur, which was in verse 13. Right? So, the flesh had to be cut away. That's the first thing, and that's what we're going to look at tonight. The cutting of the flesh. There is no circumcision that happened for 40 years. Okay? All the males that were 19 years old and younger, okay, because at 20, that's your war age, and all those had to die off for 40 years. Okay? So all these men of war, young boys, had to now get circumcised because of the wilderness wanderings. And that's what happens. When you get off in the wilderness and you get away from the Lord, you forget to do the things that he's called you to do. You know? You let the flesh grow, literally. Well, where is this whole thing about circumcision? Why is it so important? Genesis 17, 10 to 14. Okay? Genesis 17, 10 to 14. Does everybody remember that about Abram? And he made a covenant. God made a covenant with him. And Abram was supposed to circumcise the flesh of himself and his sons. Okay? And that was part of the covenant. God's seal of a covenant with Abram. The first thing that happened in that whole section is that God changed his name. Because I had to make sure that I said Abram, because we always say Abraham. And Abram means exalted father. Okay? So Abram was a king, you know, he came out of Mesopotamia and he came out and the Lord called him out. And he had lots of livestock and everything else. He was pretty well off. But his name meant exalted father, and God changed it to Abraham, which meant father of a multitude. Because remember, he would say, go out and look at the stars, and you're going to have multitudes upon multitudes. All of your inheritance is going to be from as many as the sand of the sea and the stars in the heaven. Now, I don't know who goes about trying to figure this stuff out, but they have said, scientists have said, that the sand in the seashore, okay, and I guess they take, you know, whatever, how many yards or acres or whatever, is pretty much equal to the stars that are up in the heavens. Can you imagine? The grains of sand on the seashores around the world is equal to the stars. And of course, we see more and more stars with the Hubble telescope, but all the stars. Because God says, as the stars in the sand of the sea, so you'll be, your inheritance will be. Names are important in the Bible because many times God changes a person's character when he changes their name. So, for instance, Jacob meant surplanter, and he changed it to Israel, which means prince. Okay? Same thing with Saul and Paul. Remember? Saul, now your name is Paul. Simon. When Peter was Simon. And Simon means vacillating one. And so God changes a vacillating one, like quicksand, to a rock, Peter. Okay? God added part of his name to Abraham to remind him that he was part of his life from now on. What part did he add? When in Genesis 17, it says that El Shaddai, that name for God is mentioned there, is El Shaddai. And he gave him the Ha from Shaddai, H-A. And the word there means God Almighty, El Shaddai, God Almighty. And so he gives him Abraham, gives him the H-A. And the etymology of the word is, the primary idea is strength and power. Strength and power. Basically, what God's saying to Abraham now is, I'm the creator, I'm the sustainer, I'm the supreme governor. I am going to accomplish this through you. It's not going to be by your strength. It's going to be by my strength. And I'm putting some of my name in your name now to remind you that it's my strength that's going to do this. Well, what did Abraham do? Remember, he waited and waited and waited and waited, and then he goes, I'm going to help God get where he's going, right? And we're still suffering from that today with Ishmael, right? So we have to let God do the whole thing, not 99 and 44, 100% ivory soap. We got to let him do the whole thing. So that's the first thing that happened. The second thing is the promised possession. Here in verse 8, this is in Genesis 17, basically, God is now promising what we're looking at now with Joshua, okay? The promised possession. I give to you and your descendants all the land of Canaan, everlasting possession. So now Joshua is entering into this promise, but he has to abide by the rules. And one of the rules is circumcision. You just don't go waltzing in there. He wants now, if you're going to have the land, and here's the land I promised to Abraham, but part of our covenant was the cutting of the flesh. So you have to do this. Now, the cutting of the covenant, that the blood shed to seal it, it was an eternal sign to show that they were keeping the covenant. Right? Cutting away of the fleshly dependence. Look, the guys would understand this the most. When they cut away the flesh, okay, they do it on the eighth day. And the reason why they do it on the eighth day is because God told them to do it on the eighth day. But in a male, the blood flow, okay, in a little baby, is there. Something happens on the eighth day where when they make the cut, the bleeding will coagulate the quickest on that eighth day. And God knew that because he makes human beings, you know. Well, now you got a bunch of 40-year-olds and 50-year-old guys that are going, what? You want to do what? To where? What? And so they have to be obedient. They have to really go with what Joshua's saying. We need to do this. See? And that is cutting away of the fleshly dependence, and it's the future fulfillment of this promise, is you're not going to do it on your ability, not on your with your flesh. Okay? Well, is that the American way? I mean, come on. We can do this, right? We don't need to depend on anybody. We're so proud. And God says, go ahead, try to go do it on your own. See how far you get. And even in the church, right? I mean, I think most of the time we get exhausted in the church because we're doing it in the flesh instead of letting the Holy Spirit move and doing it in the Spirit. I know, I do that all the time. My whole week is like that. Lord, I'm so tired. That's right, you are tired. Why? Because it's mostly, remember? All of me, none of God. Some of me, some of God. None of me, all of God. So, he wants to deal with that flesh. So, there's also another thing with this. They had to cut away the wilderness, rebellion, and unbelief and disobedience. That was a sign of cutting away all that stuff that they did not keep the covenant with him throughout the wilderness. Now, I don't know about you, but when I have a wilderness experience, the Lord's usually having to cut away some things that you let grow in the wilderness. Unbelief, disobedience, right? Going to go out and sow your oats? Oh, remember, every time you sow, you reap. And you always sow a little and you reap a lot. And if you whatever you sow, you're going to reap in the same kind. You don't throw tomato seeds in and get corn. You get big tomatoes. And it's always in a different season. You sow in the spring and you reap a harvest in the fall. And you can't do much about this year's crop, but you can do a whole lot about next year's crop. And you can pray for a crop failure for the sowing that you've done. And sometimes he sends a blight and he gives you a crop failure, but a lot of times we reap what we sow. Now what's the application for us? Because all this cutting and blood and you know, knives and everything else, but what's the application for us? Well, Colossians 2, 10 to 11 says this. And I would like someone to look up Philippians 3, 3, and when I ask you if you can stand and read it out loud also. Colossians 2, 10 to 11. We are complete in him. He is the head of all principality and power. So we just talked about the government shall be upon his shoulder, right? Look, it looks like things spin out of control. I get real cynical. I'm so tired of seeing these things, and you just see the constant, you know, it's like a big ball rolling down a hill. But he is in control. He is above all the principalities and powers, it says here. And ye were circumcised, made without hands, putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So because you're in Christ, he has circumcised the flesh. And you go, well then, how come we have so much Christian con carne? Christian with meat, right? How come? I think it's because people really don't recognize that when I have been crucified with Christ and I don't live any longer, but Christ lives in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. I don't mean that you live the life that I live in the flesh, but in, you know, we're still living. And that's the problem, is that we're still living, okay? And we have to recognize that it says here that the circumcision of Christ is supposed to put off the body of the sins of the flesh. Now, there's a difference between being positionally crucified with Christ and personally walking in it. And I'll talk about that. So, who has Philippians 3:3?
Is it 2:3?
Philippians 3:3.
3:3.
Yeah, just read it out loud. Okay, so again, circumcision of the flesh, but we put no confidence in the flesh. That's the thing, okay? He's cutting away the flesh. And the flesh, again, is things that we do, you know, I want what I want when I want it. It's my way or the highway, all those kind of things. When Reshen was here, remember we read in Colossians about what was idolatry? Well, of course, all the idolatry, but then when you see anger, wrath, clamor, all those things, all those personality things, all those character things were also listed under idolatry. And everybody went, ooh. You mean it's not the car that I buff every Saturday or something? No. It's the things that you give into in the flesh that feeds that flesh. Billy? Yeah, it's sad. It's
so
sad.
The flesh is really a
problem. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, we are complete in him as we are redeemed. Okay? When you accept Christ, okay, positionally, you died and he lives in you. We are in Christ. We can live in victory on this side of the cross. Galatians 2:19. Listen to this. I'm trying to read these scripture verses so you get this in your mind. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. So Jesus took care of all the law also. Okay? He was a fulfillment of the law. He's my substitute. He fulfilled the requirements of the law, and the law and its condemnation has no further hold on me. So positionally, again, positionally, I am made righteous before God because of what Jesus finished on the cross. So you're born a king's kid. Okay? You're born again. You're a king's kid. Now for the rest of the story. So positionally, you're a king's kid. Personally, we have to submit to the knife of the great physician and allow him to cut away the flesh that wages war against my soul. And what's in your soul? Your mind, your will, your emotions. Those are the things that have to go through sanctification. So you're born a king's kid, okay, but you're also tutored to be a ruler someday. And the tutoring that you're going through is all this life that we go through. in all the times that you say no to yourself and yes to him. The possibility of sin is still there. We must yield our wills to the Spirit of God, who will and keep the flesh in its place of death. So if you're crucified with Christ, where is he crucified? Golgotha. What's Golgotha mean? Place of the skull. So where's one of the major things that circumcision and crucifixion has to happen? Right up here. Place of the skull. All the thoughts. Okay? Your mind, your will, your emotions. Those things have to be brought under the spirit and not the flesh. The quicker you yield in your soul, the less damage you do to your spirit. The quicker you yield to in your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, to the spirit, the less damage you'll do to your spirit. You can't say no and Lord in the same sentence. Because if he's your Lord, okay, like the serf and the Lord, right? You can't say no Lord. At least tell him when you're disagreeing, you don't want to do it, say no Jesus. You know, call him by his given name. But don't say no Lord. You can't do that. It's an oxymoron. And you're the moron. God loves those whom he chastens. It is out of love that the knife is used to cut away the tumors of bitterness, drain the bad blood between loved ones, amputate the gangrene of malice, lance the boil of jealousy, etc., etc., etc. Because that's what he wants to do. Now, after dealing with the cutting stuff, this is like getting in surgery room, or it's like CSI or something, you know? But immediately after dealing with the flesh, what did they do? Do you remember? Immediately after they cut away the flesh, and it says Gilgal, now the children of Israel camped in Gilgal, kept the Passover. Ah, there's another thing that they didn't do for 40 years. They forgot that too. Oh yeah, by the way. The Passover was only celebrated two times before. One was when they left Egypt, okay, on the night of the Pass, the first Passover, and also at Mount Sinai. Okay? They had abandoned this time of worship and remembrance and fellowship, and without circumcision, there is to be no Passover, Exodus 12:48. So you have to cut before you celebrate. Now, why is there no life in the church? And I'm not picking on any churches. But in a lot of churches, there's no life. It's just going through the outward signs, you know, the form of godliness, but no power thereof. There's no feasting with the Lord when the flesh rules in your heart. 2 Chronicles 29:27. Write this down. 2 Chronicles 29:27. Can anybody get anything out of Chronicles? Oh, there's lots of stuff you can get out of Chronicles. It says, when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also. So, when the burnt offering began, then the song of the Lord began.
Is that us?
Yeah. The burnt offering. We have to go on the altar. Okay? Remember, what's the problem with the living sacrifice? It crawls off the altar. You've got to stay there and burn and let him burn the stuff out. Now, I know it gets hot in the oven, man. I mean, look at how hot it's been this week, right? It's hot on the altar. It's going to burn things. But he wants to burn the stuff out of you. Cut the stuff away so that you can celebrate. Because it says the song of the Lord began after they had the burnt offering. So, why such deadness? Why such spiritual deadness? And I know sometimes I look at the bottle, you know, half empty instead of half full. But can anybody say that we're turning the world upside down or our culture upside down? I mean, they did that in the first century. No, the church is looking like the world instead of us coming and being salt and light to the world. Could it be that the flesh is so much an idol in the heart of most Christians that the power of the Holy Spirit is grieved. How can we do the work that the Lord of the harvest wants us to do when our sickle is not sharp, which is the Word of God? So, one more thing, and then we're going to do something special, and I'm glad it's just us adults in here. Where, last thing, is where does the Lord celebrate this Passover? Verse 10. Anybody got their Bibles? Where are they celebrating this Passover? No. It's in the plains of Jericho. Isn't that significant? In the plains of Jericho. Why? Well, does anybody know the 23rd Psalm? He prepares the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I mean, they're having this worship time after they've done this cutting and they've all healed. And now they're going to do the Passover, and it's right in front of the devil. And I think that God's really funny. Now, we're not to go, I'm going to yell hell down, and I'm going to level the devil. Oh, really? You're going to get your butt kicked. But when God does and says, you're going to celebrate this, and by the way, right under the nose of the enemy, we're going to celebrate the Passover. Then celebrate it. Because you know what? He's already signifying the victory is already done. Now, they're going to make, you know, he's going to make them do certain things like, what do you mean go around seven times and all that? We'll get to that. But what he's doing right now is he's celebrating them being obedient right in front of the devil. Right under the nose of the enemy. God wants to have us submit to the knife and deal with the flesh. So what's sharper than a two-edged sword? The Word of the Lord. And so the Word is the thing that divides the soul and the spirit. And the Word is the thing that should cut the flesh, the carnality out of us, so that we might enjoy His fellowship, which is communion, okay, which is the Passover, to show the devil that he's defeated. So there's your spiritual warfare. Everybody's like, oh, I'm going to take on the devil and we're going to claim our land back and we're going to... We're out of obedience. We haven't been listening. We haven't been dealing with the flesh. We haven't been having communion the way we should because we're all bickering and fighting and we don't have unity and stuff like that. And so he's just like, well, when you get around to it, you know, all these promises have conditions. When you did the conditions, then we'll get dealing with the promises. So I want you to think about this, and I want you to do this very privately. What flesh are you still struggling with? What con carne, Christian with meat, are you still struggling with? And I would like you to do something. I brought the shredder, the knife. Okay? Don't ever put your fingers in the shredder. I mean, and I have 3x5 cards. And this is only for you and the Lord. See, if you want, you can show them as you go by. I want you to write down privately. And if you need to move chairs, move it. But I want you to write down stuff that you're still struggling with in the flesh. Fleshly lusts which wage war against your soul. And then what I want you to do is I just want you to come up and you're going to just put it in the shredder as a sign of cutting the flesh. Cut it up. Let it go. And give it to him. And you'll say, but I go back to it. I still keep... No, you know what? You need to make a memorial. Just like we talked about these memorial stones that they set up in the Jordan and in Gilgal. You need to make a memorial and say, you know what, Lord? Whatever it takes for me to deal with this, I will deal with it. But this is a sign for me, the signpost, and saying, you know what? Here's Gilgal. Here's rolling away the reproach. I want to deal with this, and I want this shredded and cut off, just like they did with the circumcision. They're cutting the flesh. And you know, a lot of, you know, it doesn't have to be the big sins. It can just be, I mean, oh my, I know what I'm going to write down because Tony and I talked about it today. I have a tendency to be very curt and rude sometimes. And it's out of fear.
You?
Yeah, out of fear. It's because I got so much on my mind and this and that, and I just kind of biff people and just kind of like, yeah, just get out of the way. Or, you know, the phone rings and I'm like, oh, now who is that? Hello, excuse me? Excuse me if anybody works at Intel, but go work at Intel if you have to and just work with things, because aren't you supposed to be working with people? You know. But I'm always nice when I get on the phone, you know. They call and, oh, a death notification. Okay, I got to do that. Oh, somebody calling, you know, whatever. But it's that initial thing of, who's bugging me? And it's like, well, who do you think you are? You know, I remember Pastor Ron, I always tell Pastor Ron's story, but he had these little stones on his desk. And I always thought that they were from, you know, the Valley of Elah when he went over to Israel or something. And you know what? They weren't. They were little rocks that the kids had given him when they were small. And on one of the rocks was others. And he always had that on there, others. To think of others first, you know, not your own self and, you know, who's bugging me or who's bothering me. So I know what I have to write on mine, because Tony gave me a list of 12 words that associated that were associated with being curt and rude. So anyway.
Maybe Tony should fill yours out.
Yeah. No, I'm very capable of filling mine own. If you want a different color, you can have a different color. Yeah, we're supposed to figure out.
Kind of small.
If you need a new card, I have other cards. Large one?
Yeah. Shorthand.
Yes, write in shorthand if you don't want anybody to read it. All right, so just take some time. Steve, if you want to play some music in the back, you know, like I Woke Up in Love This Morning or something. I don't know what kind of song, you know, the Lord. And just take some time and write that. It's only between you and the Lord. And I'm going to turn these things so you can walk down through here. And like we talked about, this is the cutting of the flesh, the fleshly lusts which wage war against your soul. And this machine cuts them up real good. Nobody will ever read them. And what we did at one church when we did this is I took all the cuttings and we put them in a glass jar and gave them to the pastor. That this was the stuff from his church that was all getting cut up. Deal with it. So, remember, you're dealing with the flesh in order to what? Have the Passover. In order for what? To have it in the plains of Jericho, so that your enemy is going to see this and go, oh no. They're dealing with their stuff. So. Well, be glad you're not a man. No. You know, here's the thing. The men are the ones that are supposed to lead out, okay, the men of war, and that's why they had for the males. You all give enough blood when you give birth and all this other stuff. But you know what the other side, see, it's like God the Father, right, and really it's the pre-incarnate Christ that was doing this with Abraham, Christophany. What was his side of the blood covenant? It was his son. See, Abraham was cutting the flesh, but God also cut the flesh of his son when he died on the cross. Yeah. Yep. So, take some time, write what the Lord shows you, and then come on up here and put it through the, just be careful, don't, with your fingers there, and be free, and then we'll have no, we don't have Passover, but we'll have a nice communion meal together. And I'll just leave those offering baskets over by the food there, so if you want to put something in there.